Glory to God. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Norman. And all of you who are here, I pray that we shall hear from God today. We shall hear what He wants us to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, like you saw, for those of you who saw the email, we're going to talk about the topic is great families, okay? Every one of us, if you're part of a family, maybe you're staying with your parents, or if you intend to get a family of your own to marry and get children, God would want you to have a great family. Amen? And great as defined by God, not great as defined by the world. Okay. A few years ago, I was fond of calling families great. Okay. Great or good. Okay. But a few years ago, I stopped. Unless I know a family for sure. Okay. I stopped calling any family, you know, because what people call a great family, or a good one in Uganda, is basically a family where maybe they are rich. Okay? A family which generally has more money than other families. You understand? So, honest, or someone gets a spouse from that family and they'll say, he has married in a what? A great family. You know, eh? But now, no one even wants to talk about how that money was acquired. That money that has made them great. Okay? Even those who know that it is not legitimate wealth or riches, they all pretend, they still say, man, that's a great family. Eh? A great family. Why? Because the children went to the best schools, okay, on stolen money. You understand? Okay, after they finished high school, they went to the best universities, okay, they say abroad, say, man, that family is great. You see, now every young man or every young lady feels man if they could just marry in that what? Family man. That great family. Alright? The father is a politician. He's known in the car. You know, he's always in the papers. You know, And based on, because someone is always in the papers, famous in the country, that qualifies them to be great. Okay? But why is he famous? The guy played HIV/AIDS money. You understand? Then he built a hotel or houses, you know. And so it made him rich. And now we say, great family. You understand? So man, when I thought through these things, maybe it's because of growing up. I don't know. But these days, before I give you that what? That title, great family. I have to first know you, man. Okay? Most of the great families are not known. Okay? School teachers who earn 300,000. You understand? And they have raised their kids well. You see, Okay? Good manners, the kids know. You understand? They haven't stolen any dime. Those are the great families. All right? People who are just earning, you know, they're earning an honest living. You understand? They are godly. You know what I mean? However, according to us, those are broke guys. You don't want anything to do with them. You know, But any God wants us to what? To have great families. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. But just a recap from last week is lesson. Last week we learned about true and effective ministry, all right? And we say to have an effective ministry, true and effective, number one, you should live for Jesus and Jesus alone. Eh? Don't live to make a name, okay? And don't live to make history. Glory be to God. Earthly histories will pass away. But only that which is done for the Lord will endure. Okay? No one has a calling to be a history maker. Alright? Our calling is to be like Jesus, is to live for him. Eh? Okay? And of course, as we do that, then we are making the history which matters. Okay? Number two, do not waste time. Eh? We saw in Ephesians 5 that only fools are the ones who waste time. Eh? All right? Get to know what you're called to do and do it. Don't waste time. Eh? All right? Because one day you're going to give an account of that time. Then number three, do not carnally compare yourself with other people. Eh? Everyone has a different assignment, and everyone has what is expected of them is different. Okay? So if God expects like 10% from someone, okay, and then for you God expects 90% from you, you can't feel better if the other guy is scoring 10 and for you're getting 80 or 50, and say, I'm better than him. No, you're not better than him. The guy is better than you. God expects 10% from him and he's getting 10%. For you, God expects 90, you're getting 50, Okay? So anyway, don't compare yourself with other people. And we saw the scriptures, alright? Number four, how to have a true and effective ministry. Do not control people, Don't be controlling, okay? Be secure in God, Alright? Don't be the Holy Spirit to God's people or to anyone else. You're not the Holy Spirit, you're not God. Let people do what they want to do, Alright? Don't use people for your own gain, for your own things, Alright? People are not your people, people are not tools, Tools that are there to make you make a name. All right, so don't do that. Number two, be humble. Be humble. Realize that you need other people. All right, in your assignment. And the last thing that we saw, we learned that we should practice what you preach. Practice what you tell others. Practice what you advise others to do. Alright? Jesus said in Matthew 23 that hypocrites, those who don't practice what they preach, okay, they are going to get a more severe judgment. Alright? Yeah, so we shouldn't be among them. So, today's topic, like we said, is great families. Like you all know, yeah, we are getting these lessons from Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest, and we are using the 2010 e-edition, and the copyright information page is our page one. All right? Yes. Let's open page 51 from paragraph 9. Yeah, this is the same place where there's this husband who I believe is Martin Luther, and his wife, Catherine, and they are telling Rick Joyner how they live their lives. Okay, so most of what we're going to learn today is going to come from that dialogue or that discussion. Okay, so page 51. Paragraph 9, this lady, a wife, tells Rick Joyner that you can gain the whole world. You've seen that sentence? She says that you can gain the whole world and still lose your own soul. Only if you keep your own soul pure can you truly impact the world for the eternal purposes of God. My husband lost his soul to me, and he only regained it at the end of his life because I was taken from the earth so that he could what? Regain his life. All right? Much of what my husband did, he did more for me than for the Lord. I pressured him and even gave him much of the knowledge that he taught. I used him as an extension of my own ego, because as a woman, I could not be recognized at the time as a spiritual leader myself. In a sense, I took over his life so that I could live my life through him. Soon, I had him doing everything just to prove himself to me. Isn't that sad? Then, Regina says, you must have loved her very much. Eh? Okay, this is a page 52. You say, okay? So, Regina tells the husband, Martin Luther, he tells him, you must have loved her very much. Eh? You see, because the lady is saying that what? Basically, the guy did everything just for her. Eh? So, Regina says, you must have loved her what? Very much. You know, man, this world, anyway, we shall never really ever be able to see things as God sees them. I'm telling you, we are living in a fallen world, and so many things are not as they appear. It's deception. Okay? There's a guy I used to see. This couple just wedded. Eh? Okay? So, they used to go to some church, and I was there. Okay? They would come in or even leave the service. You know, holding hands. So now, no man, you sit there and you see them. You're like, wow, what a wonderful God. What a beautiful, Okay. Now, this guy was my friend. So one day, he called me just to talk. He wanted to talk to me. So I meet him. Then he tells me that, you know what? This marriage, man, it's over. Then he told me when it got over. Yeah? So when I saw the date he gave, or the month he gave, I realized that even during that holding hands, man, things were what? There was nothing. That's when I was like, these things, can you imagine? Guys are holding hands, but it's just showbiz, just showing the world. But when, maybe when they enter the car, what? You understand? Now here you are, no man, you're having a wonderful relationship with your wife, but you don't hold hands. Okay? Then someone, either your wife or you, one of you starts to put pressure on the other to be like the other what? A couple. Call for them, what? TLC, What's that thing? Tiwa? PDA. Meanwhile, the guys are trying to be like, if God can just It show you, man. See, man, the thing is dead. It is just what? A matter of days before they will let you know. You understand? So here is Martin Luther, this guy. Now, isn't this a wonderful couple? Just imagine a couple you know, where the man is living for the wife. Everything, you understand? You see, almost all of us will say, wow, if all men can be like that guy. You understand? Hey, you know, the guy, whatever he's doing, he's ready to drive to pick up the wife from where she is. You know, isn't that wonderful? Now, until one day, when you meet in heaven, the guy will tell you that, man, I was on pressure. I was pressurized to do those things. Okay? So, Junior says, wow, you must have loved her very much. Then he says, no, I did not love her at all. He said, to my amazement, neither did she love me. In fact, after just a few years of marriage, we do not even like each other. Now that's, we didn't like each other, you know. But we both needed each other, so we found a way to work together. Our marriage was not a yoke of love, but of bondage. Okay? Now, God doesn't want our marriages, our relationships. Okay? Honest will get married one day, you know. Okay? God doesn't want you to be in a marriage of what? Of bondage. Okay? He wants you to be in a marriage filled of love. And again, remember, not this should be thing. Which man? Sometimes just man. Guys are just what? Okay? I heard of, anyway, you know, I have so many what? These guys, this guy confided to me. You remember? The guy I told you. He confided in me. He said that even on the wedding day, they had issues because of what the chick had done during the wedding preps. How she had abandoned the preps because what to entertain friends. He said even on the wedding day, went for honeymoon, they consummated the marriage after how many days? As in, honeymoon was, guys were not talking for days. They say, wow, they went to honeymoon in Canada. Wow. But you know what happened in Canada? You understand? You know, just because they had the money to go to Canada or to America does not mean it's a great family, it's a great marriage. Okay? What about those who don't have the money to go out? You understand? Again, the description of a great family has nothing to do with money. Nothing at all. This money thing, man. You know, the fallen world has exalted money. It's like, where there's money, great. In all aspects of life. But it's a lie. Hallelujah. Okay? So, our marriages shouldn't be of bondage. They should be of love. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. Okay? Husbands, do what? Love your wives. Okay? Now, it is not only husbands who are supposed to love their wives. I hope you know that. Because, first of all, Jesus left us with one commandment, to love one another. You understand? You know, love one another. So meaning that Rachel is supposed to also love Mark. Okay? As Mark loves her. Alright? So, Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. Titus chapter 2, From verse 3, verse 3 is talking about the older women, Okay, it says the older women should be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And then it says they should admonish the young women to love their husbands. You've seen it? Okay, young women to do what? To love their husbands. Glory be to God. Rich, have you seen it? Okay. Judith, you've seen it. Yes, you should what? When the time comes, yeah, be ready to love your husband. Don't only pressurize the guy to love you. Hallelujah. Also, you pressurize yourself to love him. Okay, so this is a marriage. Okay. A marriage filled with love. You understand? Okay, not bondage. And now love doesn't pressure people to, you know, now what this lady was doing. Okay? She wanted to be great now, but somehow the society at that time was such that there wasn't an opportunity for her to be great. So she's like, okay, I'm going to live through this guy. Everything I would have done as a woman, since these men have what? You know, have created a system where we chicks can't shine. Now, I'm going to live through it. I'm going to make him do, you know, in fact, it says that most of even what he taught, it is her who gave her, who gave him the stuff. That's horrible, man. Okay? Love doesn't do that. Love lets people be themselves. You understand? Okay? This is, again, what I was talking about the other day, controlling. Love is not controlling. Love is not what? Controlling. And I told you, some tribes are more controlling than others. But for your tribe is a Christian. Glory be to God. Some tribes, if you get there and you don't know that aspect, you'll get shocked. But if you get there after you, what? Listen to me there, so you can be able to handle what? Yeah. Okay? Husbands, love your wives. Then, the younger women here are being taught, okay, to also love their husbands. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, one time I had someone, and I think there's a truth to it. Someone was saying that here, when he says that older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands, someone was saying, and I think there's a truth to it, is it also applies what? With, what's the word? With things to do with sex. You know, older women are supposed to teach what? The younger women. How to love their husbands in that area. Glory be to God. Amen. But, of course, not only that area, Okay, but other things. So that's why you see they are saying girls and what? Older women, teaching these young kids. Okay? Glory be to God. Page 53. Okay? So, number one, you know, in order to get a good family, let your marriage be filled with love. And love is both of you, you should love each other. Okay? Now, page 53, paragraph 8. Okay? This lady tells Joyner that the purity you see in me was what my husband first saw in me when we were young. I was relatively pure in my motives then. All right? The purity you see in me. Okay? In heaven now. Because in heaven, she has now a glorified body, all those things. So he say, the purity you see in me was what my husband first saw in me when we were young. I was relatively pure in my motives. Okay? Until now, okay? A time came when now her motives became impure. All right? And that is one of the things that made their marriage a mess. Okay? But on the outside, it looked great, eh? But on the inside, it was a mess. Why was it a mess? Because she had lost the purity that she had, eh? Okay, which the husband first saw in her. Okay? And the purity was, she had good motive. She had a good heart. You understand, eh? She wasn't controlling. She was just there, maybe living for God, eh? Okay? Until her heart was corrupted, eh? You see, eh? Okay? So what does this teach us, eh? This teaches us, eh? Like it says in Proverbs 4:23, eh? Proverbs 4:23 says, it says that, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Okay? I prefer actually KJV, eh? Which says, guard your heart. Okay? This lady, eh? Okay? When she first met the husband, eh? It says that her heart was pure. Her heart was what? Pure, man. Eh? Okay? But the purity of heart, eh, is attractive. I hope you know that. Eh? Hmm? Purity of heart is attractive. Eh? You know, eh? You know that, but you're just trying to pretend. Okay? Why wouldn't it be attractive? Because purity of heart is godliness. Anything that is godly is attractive, eh? In a good sense. Anything that is godly is attractive. Alright? So she says here, page 53, paragraph 8. This is for Bridget's sake since she has just come. Okay? The lady tells Rick Joyner that the purity you see in me was what my husband first saw in me when we were young. Okay? That's why the husband saw, eh? Purity. She says, I was relatively pure in my motives. Okay? So this means that she had a good heart. Eh? A good heart which didn't have any evil agendas. Eh? Okay? And, you know, until her heart was corrupted. And then issues, you know, came in there, what? Umari. Okay? You know, the wanting basically to make a name, eh? To do what God they want her to do. You understand? Eh? Wanting, you know, that's when now she began to control the husband. You know, and the husband was a fool. Eh? Okay? He also allowed to be controlled, living what? For her instead of for God. Okay? And obviously, they were regretting that in heaven. You see, eh? So she was pure, eh? Until her heart was corrupted, eh, with impure motives, and their marriage got messed up. Okay? So, like we said, eh, Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Okay? Out of it springs the issues of your relationships. The heart. Okay? The heart. Glory be to God. Hmm? But, you know, a good heart, someone who's pure in heart, eh? You know, eh? Whatever, whether it's a child, whatever, an adult, eh? You know, eh? A heart, a good heart, eh? Is attractive. Okay? Of course, we're all Ukano, eh? So we first get attracted by outside appearance. Okay? I'm sure you have all met people, okay? You see them, then you get attracted with them. Either a man or what? Woman, eh? Then within 2 minutes, man, you're disgusted. You realize that, man, you're dealing with what? A fool, you know, eh? All of a sudden, the beauty, man, you wonder whether it has gone. You're no longer interested. You met those people like that, eh? Guys, what, you understand, eh? Women, eh? What has changed? It's because now you have contacted You know, the heart. And you remind, this is a fool. All right? Okay? Then, you see someone who's not attractive, eh? Okay? And sometimes maybe not attractive at all, eh? Physically attractive, eh? Then you sit with them for 2 minutes. You know, 1 minute, sit there talking, and you remind, this is a very good person. You understand, eh? You're a good person, eh? Why? What has happened is because now you have now left the physical level. Eh? Now you're what? Now you're dealing with the heart. Okay? So a good marriage, eh? Okay? People have to do the best they can, eh? To guard their hearts. Okay? From impure motives entering. All right? For out of it springs the issues of life. Out of the heart springs the issues of a great marriage, a great relationship, a great family. Glory be to God. You know, everything in life, by the way, it's about the heart. Eh? It's a heart issue. Eh? Okay? The heart. So this lady says, you know, the purity you see in me was what my husband first saw in me when we were young. I was relatively pure in my motives. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 3 to 6. Telling ladies, but it applies to men also. It says, do not let your adornments, okay, be merely outward, arranging the hair, yeah, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Eh? Let it be what? The hidden person of the heart, the beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty, glory be to God, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You see? Okay? It says, let this be the focus. Eh? Guard your heart. Okay? Don't just be on what? On the outside thing. Of course, you know, take care of your outside. Take care of your body. Okay, men, you know, trim your hair. Anyway, do what you can, eh? To look good, eh? But more than that, eh, guard your heart, okay? Let your beauty be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. All right? The heart. I'm telling you, purity is attractive. Someone who has a good heart, eh? You know, eh? Everyone likes people with good hearts. Everyone. Good hearts, man, are unwanted. And better, they are not many. Eh? Okay? And yours is among the few. Glory be to God. Man, and to be known as someone with a good heart. Eh? Okay? I know all of you don't see anything close to that, eh? But I'm not where I used to be. Amen. Amen. And a good heart. Eh? Hmm? Okay? Some relationships which get, some families, eh? Marriages which get messed up. Eh? Okay? Sometimes people just, you know, maybe someone has a bad heart. One partner has a bad heart. Then this person encounters someone with a good heart. You understand? And man, somehow the flesh comes in and man messes up things. Okay? So those issues can be avoided by having a good heart. Eh? So that when someone, your spouse finds someone with a good heart, they're like, yeah, so I have that at home. Have a good heart at home, so this is nothing new. Glory be to God. Good hearts. Okay. These are very simple things, but they are what? Very serious. Remember, this person is talking from heaven. So purity of heart is very, this is heaven now info, not canoe, stuff, books, what? You know? Stuff from bride and groom, you know? Okay. Page 54, from paragraph 2. Okay? So, Rick Joyner writes, simply wanting to prolong our conversation, I asked the next question that came to my mind. Is it difficult for you and your husband to be here together? Okay, you remember they had messed up themselves on earth. And they said, Rick Joyner says, we read earlier where he said that I did not love her at all. Okay? This is horrible, man. Then you say, neither did she love me. Okay? And you say that, in fact, a few years of marriage, we did not even like each other. Man, this is bad. Okay? This is what? By the way, I grew up in a very messed up, family, relationship, arrangement, and it was very, not the ideal, okay? So, and I was like, I remember years ago I told God, when I got saved, and I became serious with him, I told God that just help me. This area, marriage and what? First of all, to marry the right person, and then the marriage to be okay. I told God that if you just help me in that area, I will do anything for you. There's some of you, who grew up in a, things were okay, the family, the marriage, you understand? So you don't know how bad it can be. Now for me, I was like, God, if you can just, do for me this thing, I'll do for you anything. Glory be to God. Now, of course, God answers such prayers, okay? But you can mess things up. I go say, but I answered, No, you've messed it up. How have you messed up? The heart. Your heart changed, you understand? Then you mess it up, okay? Number two, the love beat. Like we said, the number one love, Okay, but man, I said, God, first of all, I was like, there was a possibility that I wasn't going to marry for life. And I was very, very serious. Okay? But I said, but if you want me to marry, help me and take care of that beat. And with that, I will do for you anything. Glory be to God. Okay? Anyway, he says here, simply wanting to prolong our conversation, I asked the next question that came to my mind. Is it difficult for you and your husband to be here together since you didn't love each other on earth? You didn't even like each other. Then he said, not at all. She responded, all the relationships you have on earth are continued here. They are all purified by the judgment and by the fact that they are now spiritual, just as we are now spirit. The more you are forgiven, the more you love. After we forgave each other, we loved each other more. This is now in heaven. Okay? The more you are forgiven, the more you love. After we forgave each other, we loved each other more. Now our relationship is continuing in much greater depth and richness because we're joint heirs of salvation. Now, this is the third thing we have to do. If we're going to have great marriages, great families, we need to learn how to forgive. Okay? Forgiveness. Okay? By the way, I'm not telling you these things. Like, for me, I don't need them. It is you guys who need them. Eh? Okay? Okay, even me, I need, you know, eh? You understand? I want to have a great family, man. Eh? I don't want to have a family where it is just showbiz outside. Eh? But, man, behind the scenes, man, eh? Things are bad. Okay? Of course, all marriages, well, maybe not all of them, eh? But a good number of them I've heard about. Eh? Occasionally, they have issues. Eh? You understand? Eh? But those issues shouldn't become big issues and then they cause what? Like, you understand? Eh? Hallelujah. Hmm? All right? Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 says, therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Okay? That is in KJV. But when you read in NIV, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, her sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. You understand? Eh? The reason why that lady loved Jesus a lot, eh? Okay, is because she had been forgiven so much. You see, eh? And that's what this lady is saying, that after we forgave each other, we loved each other more. All right? So, if we're going to have a marriage or families filled with love, eh, we have to learn how to forgive, eh, or to improve in forgiving. Okay? Bridget doesn't need to learn how to forgive. She just needs to improve, you know? Glory be to God. All of us, by the way. All right? You see, if we do that, eh, okay, then the marriage will be filled with that, because the more you're forgiven, the more you are, you love. As deep as the wounds were that we afflicted upon each other, that is how deep the love was able to reach when we were healed. We could have experienced this on earth. Now, you know, this is remarkable. She says that we could have experienced this on earth. You know, eh? So meaning that we who are still alive, okay, we can experience what this couple is experiencing in heaven. Eh? We can experience it on earth, okay, if we can just learn to forgive each other. All right? Forgiveness. I've been married for how many years? I got married in January 2010. 8 years. That means I'm kind of also a senior in these things. 8 years. Okay? And so I've been married for 8 years. Eh? But man, I'm still what? Learning. You understand? Sometimes you forgive, but you take long to forgive. Glory be to God. Okay? Then sometimes you forgive, but you're like, you know? Anyway, you forgive, yes, but if something happens again, then you pull out that thing you had what? Forgiven. Now you wonder whether you forgive. Amen? But he say the more you forgive, okay, the more people forgive each other, the more love will be experienced in their relationships. Again, we're talking about, this is info from heaven. Not just these talk shows of guys are pretending, hypocrites. He comes say, wow, my wife, my sweetheart. You know, just because you're on TV, you have to say good things. Then while on the TV, on the talk show, they hold hands, you understand? Eh? Meanwhile, guys, man, want to kill each other. You've heard all those stories, eh? Where guys were doing that day, the next day, a guy killed the other one. But they were on TV the other day. You understand? Eh? So I'm not talking about those fake things. Eh? I'm talking about guys are now in heaven and they are giving info. And said that we would have lived a great life like we're living on in heaven. We would have lived the same life on earth if only we had learned how to forgive. Okay? Okay? She says, if we had learned forgiveness, the competition that entered our relationship and sidetracked our lives would not have been able to take root in us. Competition. I hear these days it's a big deal. Husbands and wives are competing. You've heard those things. Husband and wife, they are competing on, you know. Don't pretend like you haven't heard these things. Of course, some of you haven't heard, but some of you have heard, but you're pretending. Couples are competing, man. Can you imagine? You know, it's sad. And so, yeah, he says that, then she says that if you truly love, you will truly forgive. The harder it is for you to forgive, the farther you are from true love. Forgiveness is essential, or you will stumble and stray from the course chosen for you. Forgiveness is what? Is essential. Forgiveness is essential. Okay? In order for us to have great families, great marriages, great relationships. Someone is in heaven and they're saying forgiveness is essential. You guys, you know, if we had known that or if we had practiced it on earth, we would have lived the kind of marriage we are living right now in heaven. Okay? Honest. Remember this. Okay? When you get there. Hallelujah. Page 55, paragraph 4. It says, yes, as your mind is renewed by the Spirit of truth, you will not see relationships as opportunities to take from others, but to give. Giving provides the greatest fulfillment that we can ever know. Glory be to God. As your mind is renewed by the Spirit, you will not see relationships as opportunities to take from others, but to give. Giving provides the greatest fulfillment that we can ever know. Glory be to God. So you see here, we need the Spirit of truth to help us to renew our mind to what is most important in relationships. Okay, the most one of the key things in a relationship is you should seek to be a giver, not seeking to be receiving. You know, You should seek to be a giver. You should seek to serve. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm speaking to you this thing, but I'm speaking to myself also. All right? Okay? Giving provides the greatest fulfillment that we can ever know. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something that is what? Happening. Between my wife and I, I'm curious, man. For the last like 2 months or what, maybe three or any, I don't know, 3 months what, my wife has been exceptionally very good to me. Okay, she has been good to me over the years, but she has upped the game. So I'm like, what, you know, I'm curious, but I can't ask her, And I'm pretending, of course, I'm not saying anything about it, But I'm, you know, However, what it is doing to me, now it is causing me to also, realize that, man, you know, when you realize, you know, when someone is so good, it's like your badness is exposed, Do you understand? Because someone is doing everything for you, then it will cast you that now for you, you're not doing anything, you know, you're not doing anything for her, Do you understand? So I think it is this thing, man. I don't know. And it's not like she's faking it, because you can fake things, but for some reason you can't fake things for 3 months. You know, you get tired, and one time then you just blow up and what? And it's like it's her, you know, she's flow. It's like she's in her gifting, if I should say. Okay. Then now, of course, now I'm also, you know, of course I'm also in Yambrin. Say, someone is like, they're giving you, like, they're so good. So again, this is what they're giving. And then, so you are like, but I'm the one taking, you understand? So you're like, no. There's that thing where you wanna now, like, reciprocate. Oh, actually, not to reciprocate, but also be what? A giver. You know, be good. Glory be to God. Yeah, of course, you know, thank God she's not here. But, man, it's been on my mind for months, You know, she comes up home, saying, now I want you to go somewhere because of our, the son wants to, because anything that she wants to do for, you know, at home where she says she's doing everything, even the thing I should do, she's doing it, my man, okay, but think it is what? Yeah, but it says giving provides the greatest fulfillment that we can ever know. Okay, it says as your mind is renewed by the Spirit of Truth, you will not see relationships as opportunities to take from others, but to give. Okay. Relationships, okay? A husband, you won't see your wife as she's supposed to give me. I'm supposed, you understand, I'm supposed to be receiving. Okay? You will be seeing that, no, I'm supposed to be giving. Whether she gives me, that's irrelevant for me. I'm what? Glory be to God. And says it provides the greatest fulfillment. A great family, great marriage, great relationship. Of any kind, at any level, you want it to be a fulfilling one, become a giver. Hallelujah. Become a what? A giver. Make your number one job description in that relationship. A giver. Glory be to God. Okay? Hallelujah. If this was a marriage or counseling session, or if we are only married, whatever, I would go a little bit deeper in this what subject. Okay, but you're all going to what get married, you know. Some of you are. Okay, when it even comes to bedroom stuff, okay, especially men, don't. And I was told this before I got what? Married. First and foremost, the whole, act of what? Intimacy. First and foremost, it should be to bring gratification to your partner. You understand? You're getting married soon, Yeah. That, you understand? First, you go in with that, Okay, first and foremost. Okay? Especially men, because men are more like sexual. You understand? Okay, so there's a thing where it is, they just want to receive, you understand? Nufeni gays don't have any, they don't care about their, as long as for them, they have had. But God is like, no, first of all, it should be, first of all, to bring gratification and what to your spouse. You see, and when that happens, you feel fulfilled. Someone is happy. You understand? Okay? Jesus said in Acts 20, 35, he said that it is more blessed to give than to what? Than to receive. That scripture applies also in all relationships. Okay? And we are hearing from someone in heaven, all right, saying that you should not see relationships as opportunities to take from others, okay, but to give. Giving provides the greatest fulfillment that we can ever know. Glory be to God. Okay? So set out to be a giver in your relationship. Set out to be what? A giver. A giver of any kind, you understand? A giver of help, a giver of encouragement. Don't be there. You think you're the only one who wants encouragement all the time. And you think you married so that you can be encouraged. Because I am prone to discouragement. So I want a guy who can always encourage me, what, you know. Now you have just set yourself up for trouble. Okay? Be like, for, you know, I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be, you know, anything. Of course, as you draw from God, that ability. Yes, so it goes on and says that the most wonderful human relationships are but fleeting glimpses of the ecstasy that comes when we give ourselves to the Lord in pure worship. Okay? What we experience in worship here, your frail and glorified body could not endure. The true worship of God will purify the soul for the glory of true relationships. Have you seen it? The true worship of God will purify the soul for the glory of true relationships. Therefore, we must not seek relationships, but true worship. Katebi into before say spiritual. Huh? Can you imagine you're talking about what, you know, how to have, you know, like a marriage that is great, and then a guy tells you, man, if you want a great marriage, be a worshiper of God. And this is what they are saying here, by the way. There's nothing deep. Say, be a worshiper of God. Glory be to God. You understand? It's here. Be a worshiper of God. You see, the true worship of God will purify the soul. Okay? The true worship, not just worship, true worship will purify the soul. Okay? Will purify the heart. You remember? Guard your heart, for out of it will spring the issues of what? Life. The issues of relationship. Now it says, you know, if your heart is impure, worship will purify it. If your heart is pure, worship will keep it pure. Worshiping of God. Now this is very, you know, there's someone who said that we become like the God we worship. We become like what? The God we worship. Do you know why some of these religions, why they are mean, religions like African religions, witchcraft and what, why people do things which you're like, how can people do that? How can someone slaughter a child? How can someone blow up a building with thousands of people? You know, do you know why they are like that? They're like that because of the God they worship. You always become like the God you worship. You know, people are worshiping Satan. You understand? And Satan, of course, is older, you know. He's a killer. So people, you always become like the God you worship. Okay? If people, money is their God. You understand? They can do anything for money. You always become like the God you what? Worship. So now that's why here, worship is key. Okay? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image You know, when you behold the Lord in worship, you're transformed into what you see of him. You see what I mean? Now, you cannot truly worship the Lord where you are. Your profession is worshiping, and the key word is truly worship. You cannot truly worship the Lord, and that is your calling. You know, and then you turn out, you know, a mean person, because you are always transformed into what you behold. So if you're always beholding the goodness of the Lord, you're not going to be mean to your spouse. Glory be to God. You're not going to be mean to anyone you are in relationship with, a friend or what. Of course, you're not a perfect being. So there will be, again, you won't hit the mark as you should. But, I mean, you will be, you know, relatively a good person. Worship. You always become like the God you worship. This is why now this chick is saying the true worship of God will purify what? Then she said, therefore, you must not seek relationships, but true worship. Glory be to God. Amen? You cannot be always listening to immoral, to dirty music. Dirty music. And you won't tell me that you won't cheat on your spouse. You understand? You see, you can't. You're worshiping that music. You know, you are what? Now, instead of worshiping God, you're worshiping Beyonce or whoever, Michael Jackson. You understand? There is a principle in life that you always become what you worship. You see what I mean? Cheating, sexual, those things are not verified. It is what people are what? The music, that music has a spirit that comes with it. You understand? Cannot be you always in your car, but the music in there, man, definitely, it is just a matter of time. Glory be to God. This is where, now, let me annoy some of you. This is why I believe boxing, this game of boxing, is not of God. I'm convinced, I know you can tell me how the other guy, in fact, is a preacher in his church, Upakwino, What's the guy's name? But with that guy, why is a preacher? He gives to his church. Yes, he preaches. Yes, he gives to his church. But what he's doing, according to me, is wrong. You can't be there. Then you want to box a guy to whatever he bleeds, and then you now what? Then you go and testify. Really? Then God, he teaches you how to harm a guy. You understand? How to break a guy's jaw. And then you say that's God, you understand? I'm convinced. I know they appear on TBN, they testify. Let them do that, but you can't convince me that that game is of God. Okay? Now, I tell people, now, my wife used to like, you know, boxing. Okay? Until I told her. But anyway, until I gave her my opinions. Concerning that game. I was like, how do you, so your husband, you know, you sit together to enjoy boxing. Okay? You understand? Now, why don't you think that one day is going to box you? He's part of, you understand? You're there when, and you encourage him. Jangu, the match is starting. Wrestling, same thing. Your husband is there, you know. Now, all this wife beating and what? Well, some of these things are very simple. The roots of them are very simple. You understand? The roots, they are there in the house. They never miss a wrestling, what? Wrestling on Monday, Wednesday. The family never misses. even kids. Now, what do you expect in a family like that? And the kids will see the daddy supporting Michael Hayes, remember? Who remembers? Undertaker. What do you expect in that family? Violence. The woman is the one even who calls. What, you guys, the restaurant, whatever, eh? Serve the supper quickly. Then she wonders why the husband beats her. They think they're very simple. And to me, I'm like, can't people, and people are so stupid. They can't see, they can't connect. Yeah? You see, eh? You know, these things, you know, husbands were cheating on their wives. Some of the things, the roots of them are very simple. And wives are also responsible. They whatever together to go and see about which what? They watch all those dirty videos together at home. You understand? The key thing about those videos, all that music, is to impart lust, is to promote sexual immorality. You understand? And you're the one who encourages your husband. Then they want to learn, they want to get about who is best, which song was best. In 1980, actually, Dylan was better. You understand? And then you wonder when you hear on Monday that the guy was cheating on you. You are an accomplice in that. You know, glory be to God. Okay? These introductions you do. You hire people where their profession is to just impart lust. All those dances, eh? You understand? Those traditional dances, about whichever dances there, whether Western, world dance, or what. When you look at them as a Christian with unveiled face, you just say, no, this is wrong, eh? Wrong. But people hire them. But they need a what? Yeah? Our guests. And these chicks, you're the one, in fact, who choose even the what? The group. Eh? Then those girls who come to dance for you, what? They come and impart lust on your husband. You're responsible. You're the one who brought them at you, what? You paid for your husband to get an impartation of lust. This is how I look at things, and I'm right. Glory be to God. You know, eh? Some of the things are very what? Just, things are very obvious. You know, eh? You see people on intros, eh? Maybe, you know? This is a very immoral, whatever they're doing is so immoral. But you see couples, they are there, what? Eh? You see that the wife is telling the guy, man, look at that one, the way, you know, eh? You're like, can't be. You understand, eh? Okay? So here it says, the true worship of God will purify the soul for the glory of true relationships. Okay? Then it says, therefore, you must not seek relationships, but true worship. Because there's that principle, eh? You always become like what you worship. The reason why Muslims don't find any problem with killing anybody is because of the God they worship. The God they worship has no problem with that. Okay? The reason why Muslims, the sexual immoralities, it is nothing, though they pretend, eh? You understand? But those long things, what? They're pretending. Behind the scenes, Muslims are the most sexually immoral people. Why are they like that? Because of the God they worship. The God they worship has no problem with you having how many women. People always become like the God they worship. Okay? So that's why here it is saying, this lady is telling Rick Joyner in heaven. So this is heavenly info. Okay? It says that the true worship of God will purify the soul for the glory of true relationships. Because as you worship God, you know, you're transformed into the image that you behold of Him, eh? Okay? So you become like that. You worship God and He's loving, you know, He's a giver, You transformed into that, eh? And so you'll be a giver in your relationship. You see the love of God as you worship. Amen. Again, you remember, it says true worship, eh? Not just singing Hillsong, singing. No, true worship. You understand, eh? You will be transformed into that. You see the love of God, you understand, eh? Then you will be able to what? You will be transformed into what? A loving person in your relationship. But you sit in your car with dirty music, eh? You'll be transformed into that. You see, eh? Every woman you see, you just see her as a sex object. You understand, eh? You know, this thing, anyway, these things are what? Anyway, but you've gotten the point, eh? Okay? Therefore, you must not seek relationships, but true worship. Because if you're a worshiper of God, you'll be transformed into the image of God. So you'll be a good party in your relationship. You understand? In your relationship, you will exhibit godly characteristics. All right? So she says, only then can relationships start to be what they're supposed to be. True love never seeks to be first or to be in control, but rather it takes the place of humble service. If my husband and I had kept this in our marriage, we would be sitting next to the king now, and this great hall would be filled with many more souls. Glory be to God. Worship. Man, I've attended weddings of Christians. Did I attend your wedding? Yes, I did. No, I didn't attend your wedding. I came for the intro. Your wedding, I don't know what happened. But I've attended the weddings of Christians, man. Intros, wedding. Bill Gates hire a very evil musician to come and grace a function. Na ingila wao na kayimba, you know. And they tend to, it comes in like, eh? Surprise, you know, eh? Yeah. I'm like, now these ones, eh? Now, what do you expect of a marriage which, in fact, by mere fact that they get that musician, it means they're not getting that musician just for that day. It means they're feeding on what? On that musician, even after the, you know, Bamulinamu Motokaza way. But now, what do you expect of a relationship like that? You understand? Eh? Kids are going to be always messing each other up. Eh? The woman who want to dress like that singer. Do you understand? Eh? Kwanga, that's a fashion. Eh? Dress like what? The singer. And the husband say, yeah, that is fashion, eh? What's the word? The mulembe, you understand, eh? Then, because of how she dressed, she goes and messes herself up. Then the husband is wondering where it came from. This wife, I don't know why she's behaving this way. But you know what you enjoy together, eh? You know, eh? Glory be to God. I have with saloons I go to. You know, eh? And man, guys know me. The moment I enter, eh? They have to lower the what? Volume. Bamani. And they like me because I tip them. Eh? So that's why they can do anything, what? Okay? There's a saloon I go to. So one time I had an appointment. I told Joseph Umpora to meet me there. And so he met me. No. Joseph was there already, so I came to pick him up because we had to go somewhere with him. And so after he curses there, he gets into the car. Then he tells me that, man, those men were asking, the saloon people were asking me. Of course, when they realized that I know Joseph and he knows me, they asked him, Negwe, Uyo msajja, chichi, burade chi buwalina. Uyo msajja, burade chi buwalina. Then Joseph said, right, chichi. Musajja wuli wajja wano. Tulina okendeza. Musajja chichi burade chivu alina. Glory be to God. Now for me, I'm like, no, I'm paying you my money and I'm the only customer who feels it, you know. So you have to, what? Mukendeze and, yeah, from 100, then they bring it to 90. I'm like, no, you haven't mukendeze anything. They have to, you know, I have like two, they know the moment, and you see the moment I enter, you hear them saying, great, you know, Hi, because for me, man, that music just doesn't do well with me. It just doesn't do well with me. It just, it is not the volume actually, contrary to what they think, but it's about the type. And as long as I'm there, yeah, I can dictate some things. It's just, for me, for you maybe to it's a wow, yeah. But to me, man, I'm very, that thing, I'm so sensitive. Okay? True worship. One of the things to make your marriage better, your relationship with your anybody, siblings, what you know, Okay? True worship. Because you always be transformed into the God that you worship. Hallelujah. If you're worshiping Michael Jackson, you're going to be transformed into his image. Hallelujah. Amen. Before you know it, I don't know, but I heard what I used to, whatever, young boys or whatever I used to do. These things, if you discover the issues people have, some of these things, the root is just there. The cause is just there. Just some of the things, what they want, what they exposed to, what they are always involved in. Wife beaters. The woman and the man, they enjoy boxing and wrestling. Then the woman wonders why this guy is always what? And even herself, she's always beating the kids for nothing. You know those things, Mommy has beaten me for nothing. Wrestling, boxing. Maybe you say I'm extreme, but this extreme thing has kept me these many years. I don't know when was the last time I beat someone. Maybe I beat with words, I don't know. But I think the last time I even fought, I think was in primary school. All right? Okay, so great families, one of the keys, it sounds super spiritual, but it's there from someone in heaven. Be a worshiper of God, not a singer. Worship, true worship, because you'll be transformed into the image of God. You always become like the God you worship. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, page 6. You're like, hey, page 6. Yes, page 6. Page 6, you remember the book began by a war, you remember? A civil war, all right? And in that civil war, most of the enemy's army, Satan's army was full of Christians. And the strategy, basically the whole thing was to cause divisions at every level. Okay? So anyway, page 6, paragraph 6. There's something about marriage there. It says, page 6, paragraph 6, Rick Joyner writes and says that the primary strategy of this army was to cause division on every possible level of relationship. Churches with each other, congregations with their pastors, husbands and wives, have you seen it? Okay, children and parents, and even children with each other. The scouts sent to locate the openings in churches. Yeah? The scouts were sent to locate openings in churches, families, or individuals that such spirits as rejection, bitterness, and lust could exploit and enlarge. Through these openings would pour demonic influences that would completely overwhelm their victims. So anyway, what this is teaching us is that we should pursue unity, eh? By all means, eh? In our relationships. Okay? Knowing that the primary strategy of the enemy is to cause divisions. You understand, eh? And the way they succeed, eh, is if they find places where there's rejection, bitterness, you know, that is exploited. So again, like we said, we have to learn to forgive. Okay? The other thing we have to learn, of course, to let bitterness go, so that it is not exploited, okay, by the enemy. Okay? And any other thing which can cause an opening. Glory be to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 says, "He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent." Whoever does what? Breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. How will he be bitten by a serpent? Eh? It can happen two ways. Eh? You break through a wall, you create an opening in this wall, okay? Number one, the snake might be the other side, and what? Your arm is what? He's beaten. Number two, it can happen there where the serpent, whatever, through the wall. And when it's in the house, of course, it will bite you. Glory be to God. So don't create unnecessary openings, and when they're there, please close them real fast. Hallelujah. And one of them, the key one of great unforgiveness, bitterness, it will get exploited. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15, it says, Paul says, "We should look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become what? Defiled." You see, any root of bitterness doing what? Springing up, causing trouble. Okay? And the trouble in this is what? Basically, division. You see, division. Glory be to God. So by all means, pursue unity, okay, in your relationships, in families, pursue. Of course, there will be issues to disagree about, but don't make them unnecessarily a big deal. It's amazing how people make small things a big deal. Maybe they are big deals to them, but some of these things, and for me, I'm convinced that most of these issues in what? Marriages, I could be wrong, but some of them really, people just made, a mountain out of, a simple thing. Maybe they're simple to me, but some of these things you hear, what caused the problem? Okay? Let's avoid that, all right? Okay? Now, remember, if it is a marriage, if it is a family, they are children, all right? So we can't talk about husbands and wives without talking about children. So as we end, let's open page 79, the final quest. And here, you remember Angelo? Angelo. But God compared Angelo to some other man who grew up in a nice family. All right? So page 79, verse 14. Yeah. God shared that the first man, you know, there's a man who had been raised in a wonderful family, which had always known the Lord. And because of this, the upbringing of this young man, God said, oh, Jesus said that this man got 100 portions of love. How did he get them? By the upbringing. 100 portions of love. Okay? Though, of course, he didn't use all of them. And God wasn't, you know, pleased with that. But at least he was raised in an environment where he got 100 portions of love. You see, eh? So from this we learn, or we are reminded, that God would want us to raise children in a family, okay? To raise them up in a godly way. You understand, eh? Kids, to grow up when they have love within them, which they can give. You understand, eh? Okay? Because we're talking about great families, eh? Okay? And let me say it again, for those of you who came late, A few years ago, I stopped, unless I know you very well, but I stopped just dishing out the title, great, family to couples, to families I come across. I stopped. Because what people, let's say in Uganda, even the world, what they call great families is the amount of money in a family. Okay? Now, that wouldn't be bad if you'd prove where that money came from or how it came. Okay? A man stole money. And these days, women have also become thieves, man. You know, when you find a woman who is a thief, man, it means shocking. You know, but a guy who's a thief, people don't over. Find a chick, man, she's always in the papers. Thief. Hey! And so, this couple, you know, all one of them, they're thieves. So because they're thieves, and they have access to a lot of money to steal, so they are rich. They have money. So the kids go to good schools, You understand, Great universities, you understand? They are known in the country. Now, do you know what that family is called in Uganda? It's called a great family. So your daughter is going to marry that family. Say, hey, man, Hillary's daughter is going to marry in a great family. That man is great. In fact, Museveni even came to his house the other day. Do you know why Museveni came? You understand? Because of course, if you are a rich man, you understand? So money makes you influential. So anyone in politics would want to deal with you. Because somehow you can what? Influence things, their votes. So, man, that guy, man, him seven man at times, what? But you see, now people say, man, that's a great family. Then now you're going for intro. Ha. Intros, man, are the ones which scare people. Because now the other guy is great. Do you know the people who are going to be there? They say it's a chick's family. Anyway, whichever, Salim Saleh is going to be there. Salim Saleh is going to be there. So, you understand? Hey, man, like, who do we have? This is when guys start to call up people they don't have any relationship with. Who's the man? We also have to, at least some, you know, with three big shots, man. He repeats it. Kuzman, Salim Saleh is going to be there. Mbaba is going to be there. You know, Kusina, that family is great. But these are thugs, man. So for me, I stopped dishing great family things. Some of the greatest families in this country are teachers. Teachers earning 500K. But they have educated their kids. The kids didn't go to which school, but they went to another. Honestly, you know, the kids have been raised up with integrity. So you marry a kid like that, you've married someone with integrity. You know, that is a great family. Most of these things are fake, fake, fake,
fake. Glory be to God. Meanwhile, those guys you're calling great, eh? You're their man. When you see them, you begin to quake, eh? You know, eh? In their hearts, man, they're admiring you. You understand? Eh? In their hearts, they look at that guy. They know that guy has nothing because he didn't do it my way. In their heart of hearts, they are what? You don't know that. So when you start bowing, they despise you. Say, man, if you know how I admire you, now you think I'm great. You understand? They say, yeah, you know it's what? Discerning. I remember years ago, my dad was sick. He was in Zambia. He was admitted. Then some guy who later got into issues, came to visit him in hospital. They had someone relationship. So anyway, he came to visit him in hospital. So I remember that time I came from school to go and see my dad. So I phoned this guy there. So my dad introduced me, this is my son. Okay? And then he added, and he saved. You know, he saved. So this guy looked at me, and the guy said, yeah, that will do him very good. You understand? But this guy, man, later, he got into issues. He was thrown in prison, and he's still there, by the way. But the guy, when the moment he was told that, and this guy is born again, my son is saved. See, the guy, he looked at me with this, respect and awe, but the fact that he was told that this young man is born again. But the guy, man, had stuff, but just born again, guy, it will do him very good. Okay? Then here you are, you start to call the guy's family a great family. Until, man, things happen and info gets in the what? The public. But even when info gets in the public, people still call those families great. It just shows you how the fallen man is just messed up. Evidence someone is not great, but people still call them what? Great family. So that's not what I'm talking about today. Today we're talking about serious things, things which matter in heaven. Great not as defined by the world, but as what? Defined by God. So anyway, kids need to grow up in, families where they can be raised up well, grow in love, There's a saying that you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you have never received. You can't give love if you have never received it. So God wants kids to grow up in good families, where they can receive that. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, as we close, Malachi 2 verse 15, what does it say? Malachi. But do you know the meaning of that name? Malachi. I think it means angel. Okay? That's why you get the word Malaika. You know that? Malachi. Messenger, the Greek is angelos. Anyway, Malachi 2:15. it says, but did he, God, not make them one, husband and wife? Did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Then the answer is, he seeks godly offspring. Hallelujah. God seeks what? Godly offspring. Okay? So kids should be raised up that way. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. You all know it. It says, train a child in the way they should go. Okay? And when they are what? When they are old, they will not depart from that way. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Glory be to God. Okay? So in summary,
If you want to have a great family, number one, love your partner. It is not only husbands who are supposed to love their wives. Number one, the commandments that we have is love each other. Okay, that's what Jesus left us with. Love one another. Okay, so it means even wives are supposed to what? Love their husband. Okay? We saw Titus, in Titus chapter 2, Paul telling Titus to tell the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Okay? So a great family, number one, love your partner, love each other. Number two, guard your heart. Okay? Martin Luther's wife here, this lady, in the Final Quest, she says that when she was younger, you know, her motives were pure, Okay? And then they got messed up, and that's what messed up their marriage. She said that is the first thing my husband saw in me, the purity of heart. Okay, the motives were pure, and then they got corrupted. And motives are something of the heart. Okay, so what we need to do is to guard our hearts. You know, guard your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. From your heart springs the issues of relationships. Glory be to God. Number three, forgive. Okay? And the more you receive forgiveness, the more you love. And you don't truly love if you haven't learned how to forgive. We have learned that. Okay, number five, be a giver. Okay? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? Rick Joyner was told here that giving provides the greatest fulfillment that we can ever know. And this lady was telling her this, you know, in the context of their marriage. Okay? Okay? And she was saying giving. Okay? And most of you were here when we were talking about being a worshiper. Okay? Be a worshiper of God, because you always become like the God you worship. Number then pursue unity. And then, of course, a marriage usually has kids, and God would want the kids to be raised in a godly way. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You've been blessed. Father, thank you for everyone in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, for the people who are married, I pray in the name of Jesus that their marriages will be great marriages, great families, Father, great families. Those families will be like cities set on a hill. There will be a light in this dark world. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for everyone in this place who's not married yet. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, you bring their partners to them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak godly marriages into their lives. Every person, single person in this place, I speak godly marriages in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I speak godly partners to come their way in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I rebuke whatever would be fighting against them in that area, whatever might be holding their partners back, restraining them from this that the Lord wants for them. I rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus, and I call them forth to come and meet their spouses. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for your angels right now go and they work according to that. I thank you, Father. May every relationship in LAT, may it be godly. May it be great. May it be blessed. May it be a blessing in this world. In Jesus' name. Amen.